And you're with Janine from Life is a Beach. And we're at Ant Bear. Is it Ant Bear Lodge or Ant Bear Eco Lodge or Ant Bear Guest Lodge?
Ant Bear Eco Lodge.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I'm Andrew Atwood. And I've been living here for the past 21 years. I used to do some kind of corporate software stuff. It's another life that I've left very far behind me.
And no, you haven't, because you're still doing development, your website. Yeah. You're still very tech savvy.
Yeah, a little bit. we came here to live a sustainable, self-sufficient lifestyle. We kind of arrived at tourism because when we got here, I worked out that using the internet on a party line was just not going to happen.
Did you still have one of those turning?
No, we didn't have a turning one, but we had 14 people that used the same telephone line. And if one of we didn't hear each other anymore. But if one person picked up the phone, it cut off the internet connection. So it was actually an unusual thing.
Oh, that must have been fun.
Yeah. So that meant we had to do something else. And so we looked at doing tourism. Agriculture just seemed like far too much work for me. And we started 21 years ago, and we've built this place we're incredibly proud of. We're into all this alternative building techniques. So we've built with straw bales, rammed earth, cob, old bottles, sun-dried bricks. And we've made some really nice structures. They've got a very organic feel to them. And I'm very much into this upcycling other people's rubbish. So the whole concept is to give something a new life that's actually reached the end of its life. So we've made every piece of furniture in the lodge ourselves. We've made...
But not only have you made it, the style is so unique.
Yeah, it's completely unique.
You haven't
unique.
Made it by a mold. I mean, yeah. Every single piece of furniture is made with a completely different purpose in mind.
Yeah, and it's we've got windows that have got frames that look like chickens or baobab trees or, you know, whatever we felt like doing at that time.
And your doors open with such unique mechanisms.
We've got wooden hinges, wooden open locking mechanisms. So we've had a lot of fun with this, I must say. And one of the things that we've got that is particularly different is that we have a luxury cave, which we use for accommodation. So it's got these glass doors that open onto a wooden deck. It's built underneath a rock. And there's hammock chairs on the deck of the cave. It's got obviously a jacuzzi bath and king-size double bed and fireplace. All the things that a cave is supposed to have. You know, those bushmen didn't meet the mark. But we've just taken how they used to live and made it better. The lodge is all about as much as about self-sufficiency as much as possible. So we have our own organic vegetable garden. We have our own chickens for eggs, cows for milk. We bake our own bread. We even make our own cheese. That is if we've got enough milk. So we use the excess milk. We make our own yogurt. And the food that we prepare, we try as much as possible to do a farm-to-fork concept. So using as much of the produce from the farm as we can. So we don't ever really have a menu. We don't have a standard menu. We just use what we've got and make really nice home-cooked food out of that. Then from the activities that we offer on the place, we've got horses and do horse trails. We're ideal for beginners. We use the gentler horse whispering methods to train the horses, and then we go for slow outrides on the farm. People are really interested in the horse whispering. Then we've got...
you have to tell me, what is horse whispering all about?
So horse whispering is basically just a way to train a horse without hurting the horse. So there's a There's a guy named Monty Roberts, who he became famous when Robert Redford made a movie about him. And he was abused as a kid, and he thought there must be a better way to train these horses. So basically, he looked at how these horses interacted and learned to speak their language. And it's incredible, because all you do is you basically take over the alpha position in the herd. So you take a horse and you basically chase it in a round pen. So at that stage, a horse just does fight or flight. So it's just running. And because it's in a round pen, it can't go anywhere. It just runs in circles. So generally, you have to chase it around the pen maybe three times. And then it'll drop its head and start chewing. As soon as you see that sign, all you do is you stop chasing it and turn your back on the horse and ignore it. And you know what? That horse turns around and it comes and puts its head on your shoulder. And you can go from a horse that's never been ridden before, and then put a saddle on it, repeat the process, and you can basically get on the horse and ride it. And it's as simple as that. You don't have to break these things in. You can just ask them to be part of the situation and do it out because they want to do it. And we don't have any problem horses, so that might make it easier. But by the same token, we've managed to do this with every single horse. And then another activity that we've got here is a stargazing hammock camp. It's part of our community upliftment initiatives, where I've supported a local villager who's built a stargazing hammock camp. And he then fetches guests from the lodge, and we takes them down to the hammock camp, where he set up the hammocks, and in winter he puts hot water bottles in the hammocks and blankets, so it's not so chilly. And then he tells them African folk tales about the stars, how the sun and moon got into the sky, why the sky is so far away. About the
That's so interesting, though.
These African maidens who threw the ashes into the sky to make the Milky Way, and a whole lot of other stories like this. And people absolutely love this. So it's not really a traditional stargazing; it's more storytelling, and that's what makes it so unique. And then, and he also talks about his village life and a lot of the aspects of daily life living in this rural area. A recent addition that we've created is a slack packing trail. And what's cool about the slack packing trail is that it's a 3-day trail, and you walk lodge to lodge. So you start off the first night at Antbed Lodge, and then the second night you sleep at Leopard's Lair Lodge, which is about 15 kilometers away, maybe 3 kilometers away in a straight line, but after you've walked it, it's like 15 kilometers. And then from Leopard's Lair, we walk across to the Zulu Waters Game Reserve and stay at Shaka Lodge. And then on the third day, we walk back to Antbed Lodge, where you pick up your car. And the nice thing is we transport all the luggage for people. They do this kind of hiking camping experience, but they don't have to cook any food. They don't have to sleep in a tent.
And they
don't have to carry anything. So that works really nicely. And what's really spectacular about the hiking trail is you get to hike inside a game reserve. You see rhinos and buffalo, eland, and that's something really special. Additionally, Leopard's Lair is very much an agritourism stay, so each place is very different, and The base family have got a tame eland and some emus and bottle-fed sheep, and the list just goes on. It's a really nice experience, and we only take small groups, and it's guided. So we've got a local guide from Escort who goes with people, and it's a really.
Is it quite a hectic walk, or not such a hectic walk?
I've heard it told both ways.
Some we people, did the Drakensberg canopy tour a couple of days ago, and we walked out of the ravine after we'd done the tour, and I must tell you, it must have taken us at least an hour and
a half. This is a hectic walk.
We're still feeling the after effects. The zipline was easy.
So effectively, you have to walk for at least 4 hours a day. I've had people tell me that this has been absolutely epic and unachievable. And then I've had others that have said, well, where's the walking starting? So it all depends on
the
person.
On the fitness of the person, yeah.
And, you know, if you just need to understand it's 15 kilometers a day, there is some up and down. And if that's not more than what you can handle, then we must just look at what we can do to shorten it a little bit. And there's lots of options.
Well, I was going to say, you can always bring us back on the horse ride.
And we can get to most of the places by car anyway. So we can, if somebody gets into trouble, you just drive there and fetch them. And another thing that's particularly interesting about this walk is that we can also do it in a pet-friendly environment. So, but then we can't include the game reserve. But people really love that, to go to do a slack packing trail and be able to take their dog with them. Wow. I don't think there's another place in South Africa that does that.
That'll do that, absolutely. So the options are quite, there's quite a lot of options in this area, which I think makes it such a unique place to be. So when you arrive here, there's a lot of options of things you can do, or you can just read a book.
Yeah, there's a lot to do, and that's what I've just talked about has been just what we can do on the property. We can do day trail hiking trails on the property as well. If people want to actually see the area, there's the Midlands Meander, there's the Drakensberg Mountains.
But you've also got a beautiful conference center on the property.
For very, very small conferences, we do things like yoga retreats. We also do small weddings.
Basically, the trend is definitely to go with a smaller wedding because of the fact that COVID has cut the numbers back for large gatherings. Yeah. So that makes you an ideal spot for a small wedding.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. And we've started to market ourselves as that, but up until now we haven't taken too many bookings. But we'll see, it's still early days.
How many rooms do you have?
15.
And you can accommodate how many people?
So officially we do 30 people. That's two people in a room. However, some of the rooms can do quite a lot more. Some of them have got upstairs lofts where we can have two extra beds or four extra beds. That works quite well with kids. And a wedding is an event that's where it's family comes together, and they don't mind grandparents sharing with grandkids and things like that. So I think we've had at most 64 people sleeping on the premises at one time.
And then, the rooms are really large and airy.
Yeah, everything's very generous. So even with so many people staying here, it doesn't feel like they've all been squashed into a sardine can.
And I noticed the bath in our room was a jacuzzi bath. Have all your rooms got jacuzzi baths?
Yeah, they've all got jacuzzi baths and fireplaces.
I mean,
that
really is just wonderful to see that.
Yeah.
And, of course, besides that, with all the woodwork, we had to look for the fridge because it's inside a beautifully crafted cabinet. So it's always it was always such a pleasure just to go and do a hunt around and see what you've built. What are the plans for the future for Ant Bear? Thinking of running a cooking. I know when we spoke last, you were looking at running a cooking school at the back.
So we've done a little bit of that. We've done some cheese making courses and some bread making courses. I also do these woodworking workshops. It's very much on a one-to-one basis, or couple with that's doing it on their own basis. We basically just use the lodge facilities, and you get to learn about things that you would otherwise not really get to learn about. So, I mean, there's not many places where you can do a cheese making course or a woodworking course.
No, and you're what I think is so unique about it.
And you end up making something that you take away with you. So, with the cheese, obviously, it's not matured yet, but people take a round of cheese with them when they go, that they made themselves. Or with the woodwork, we sort of work out what people would like to make, and then we make a piece of furniture and they take that with them. We've done lamps, and we've done I had one girl who did she made a chessboard and a whole lot of chess pieces for her boyfriend. She actually got most of it done, but she still needed to sand it off and varnish them that she was going to do it once she got home. We've also made a cupboard for putting hats and shoes and things at the entrance of a house. So somebody wanted to make that.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so
I've noticed a lot of your chandeliers have got different ideas, like they've got wood with cups in them.
We've also got chandeliers that are made like an aloe, and we've made the leaves of the aloe and the roots of the aloe out of little bits of wood. And
that's amazing.
Some old copper pipe that's been made into the flowers of the aloe. And then we put light fittings onto the end of the copper pipes made a really nice feature.
So what's the future for Adby? You've got to be building something new, doing something new, because I
don't
think
I don't really know what the future holds. It's been very difficult in tourism the past 21 months, I'm not sure what how it's going to change. But then I suppose if you'd asked me this question 21 years ago, I would have also said I don't know what the future holds. So we kind of do something all the time. We keep busy, and we come up with new ideas and implement them and just keep going.
Has the Drakensberg itself evolved since you arrived 21 years ago? Because I've noticed when we were driving through yesterday, it's still difficult to see where your neighbor is.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting question, because when we came here 21 years ago, I thought this was going to be like the new Nottingham Road. Nottingham Road was expanding at an unbelievable pace, and there were a lot of places around that seemed like in 20 years this would become quite a civilized place. Well, it's actually gone the other direction. Probably more than half of the tourism places that were in our greater region no longer exist. Possibly even more than half. So it's actually become more rural. While places like Nottingham Road have just mushroomed. I don't really know why it is, because I see all the advantages of living where we live, and none of the advantages of living in these urban places that have become quite built up and overly civilized. And with that, they become overly expensive. So I think the lifestyle of living out here is is just perfect.
And especially now that you have the right internet and you're not sharing a party line.
Yeah, definitely the internet has improved. Cell phone reception has improved.
Oh, it has. We noticed that as well. Yeah, we definitely noticed an improvement in cell signal.
So, and especially in light of this COVID situation, I don't think that there's a better place in the world that I could be weathering the storm. So while it might be creating havoc with the business, it actually has made our lifestyle very pleasant. You know, you can imagine what a lockdown feels like when you live on 220 hectares of land and you've got to walk for like 4 hours before you get off your own property.
But it's such a tough life.
Yeah, the lockdown. In fact, we got a lovely story about the lockdown. When it first came, we thought this lockdown we've got to take seriously, and we closed the gate, and we only opened the gate 59 days later.
Wow.
What did we go out and buy when we went out? Cow food and coffee beans. So having our own milk and baking your own bread and all these kind of things, it was actually, there was very little unpleasantness about it. And we gave people the option, as far as the staff went, they could either go home and spend lockdown at home, or they could come here and spend lockdown here. And just live here. And so, there were about 8 of us here that spent the time together, and it was actually quite a lot of fun. It was not a situation that was uncomfortable at all. So I think I'm almost could be convinced that to live life in a constant state of lockdown. You know, it's, besides the fact that you can't earn any money doing that.
I was going to say, I think at some point your money might run out. But also it would stop people from visiting such a beautiful venue.
Yeah.
It really is a beautiful venue. So I'm very privileged to have visited here a number of times.
And we do love sharing it. So that makes a big contribution to it.
I'm sure. Andrew, it's been such a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
How do people get hold of you?
There's a website, antbear.com, and there's an email address and telephone number on the website, and just make an inquiry.
No, make a reservation. What's an inquiry?
And if you tell me that you've heard this on this radio station, I'll give you a 30% discount.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm Janine, and you've been with Life is a Beach, and I've been with Andrew Atwood at Antbeer Lodge.